At this time, I wish to call the September 28th, 2020 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board to session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current. A copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
The flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Must be two flags.
Call the roll.
Commissioner Kriebel.
Here.
Tom Halpin.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III. Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Taco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Landgraf and Wendy Bartlett.
Okay, we have a quorum. We do have a quorum. At this point in time, the next item on our agenda is to the adoption of the September 9th, 2020 minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for approval of the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have three resolutions from the last meeting that need to be adopted. Those resolutions are P32-2020, William Bernstein, P33-2020, Troy Avenue Owners, LLC, P34-2020, Gordy and Cynthia at 605 North Derby Avenue. Are there any changes or modifications to those resolutions? Hearing none, we're seeing no requests. May I have a motion and a second for adoption of those three resolutions?
Make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Said resolutions hereby adopted. We will move on to the next court. Tonight we have two applications. One is 115 South Newport Avenue, one at 9 South Newark Avenue. The first application of the evening will be JAB Development Corp at 115 South Newport Avenue. We have the applicant present.
Yes. Yes, we're muted here.
Okay. First thing we get.
We're here.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
Mr. Swift, are you representing?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. My name is James Swift, 1335 Tilton Road, Northfield, New Jersey. I'm appearing this evening via Zoom on behalf of JAB Development Corporation. I'm here with our expert, Mr. Ponzio.
Okay, who do you have present with you?
Present with me is Mr. Ponzio, and we have via Zoom is Mr. Bertino, who is a principal with JAB Development Corporation.
Okay, and who are you gonna, and please have the, those persons need to be sworn this evening, please have them sworn now.
Okay.
Okay, Jim, it's Leo. If Mr. Ponzio can state his name and business address for the record, and then if the principal is gonna speak, he can state his name and address for the record, and I'll swear them together.
All right. Sure, Arthur W. Ponzio, Jr. And at this point in time, I don't think, unless the board wants to hear from Mr. Bertino, he's not planning to speak at this point.
Okay. And Mr. Ponzio, just your business address for the record. I know it's on the plane you submitted, but.
Oh, I couldn't hear that. He wants your address, business address.
Oh, I'm sorry. 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay. And please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ponzio, what capacity are you appearing this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I'm here on behalf of the applicant representing him as far as land surveying for this project is concerned, as well as the planning to create the subdivision.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Ponzio's credentials are acceptable and he's appeared before this board many times. Okay. At this time, are there any other housekeeping methods for this? Leo, we complete?
We're complete.
Okay. At this time, well, Jim, Mr. Swift, we're going to have our board engineer and planner give a brief overview of the project, and you have this report in front of you already. So, Ms. McLernan, would you please be sworn?
Mr. McLernan, do you swear? Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Roger, would you please proceed with the preamble and explaining this particular project to everyone?
Yes. Thank you, Board Chairman, board members, applicants. My report is dated September 21st, 2020. It's a continuation of a report that was actually started in November of 2019 in regard to JAB development. 115 South Newport Avenue, Block 27, Lot 1.03 in Ventnor, New Jersey. This is a by right minor subdivision. It's located in the R3 single family district. Bottom of page one, you see the materials reviewed to develop this report. Continued on the top of page two, the project description is as follows. The applicant is proposing to subdivide an existing oversized lot containing a single family dwelling under construction into two conforming lots, with the structure remaining on one of the lots. Three variances, making this a by-right minor subdivision. So the zoning chart is on the remainder of page two. And as you can see, all the bulk standards are being met or exceed the minimum requirements. Since there is no proposed development on the remainder of the lot that is currently vacant, there is no standards to review for variances. So the application is deemed complete and conditions may or may not apply depending on the outcome of the hearing, which I think we know. Again, this is a by right subdivision. There are not any variances. They meet all the requirements of this zone. General comments, no proposed improvements are indicated on proposed lot A. The lot number shall be confirmed by the tax assessor and shall be included on the subdivision plan for compliance and signing in and filing with the county. A water main extension may be required for Newport Avenue, confirming the city engineer if a new fire hydrant may be required. If so, it shall be included in the engineer's cost estimate. A sanitary sewer main extension may be required for Newport Avenue, again, confirmed with the city engineer. It appears that the entire frontage along Newport Avenue is in a fire zone, which means that there's no parking, but however, driveway access is permitted. The subdivision requirements are on the bottom of page three. Again, they have met all the requirements of the subdivision other than the the tax lot, the new lot numbers. And just going through my notes, I'm not going to go through every line item here. Again, it's a by right. Item number G, location, size, direction of flow, all streams, brooks, lakes, watercourses, drainage structures, and drainage ditches in the area to be subdivided or within 200 feet of the proposed subdivision. It's not submitted. They should request a waiver. A waiver should be granted on that as there nothing really exists there. Page five are the recommendations. Again, just the plan shall be revised for any board recommendations. All utilities have to be confirmed with the city engineer to see if they are available. Concrete construction details for all the curbing, depressed curb, et cetera, for all the public right-of-way improvements shall be submitted on the plan. An engineer's cost estimate shall be submitted for bonding and escrow, including all utility connections and street paving, and the concrete within the public right-of-way to be replaced. Also, if property markers are not set, a bond may be required for those corners unless they are set prior to the filing of the map. Item number 10, a grading plan. Again, that could be submitted with a general note saying that all grading shall be directed towards the street. Item number 11, provide for an ADA ramp at or near the proposed lots A and B for ADA access to the boardwalk ramp. A detail should be required on that. And soil erosion sediment control plans and permits, that'll be a function of the construction permits when they go to file for those. The corners do have actual state plane coordinates instead of assumed values. That needs to be clarified. That concludes it. Okay. Again, I just want to remind the board members that a couple of meetings ago, we had a similar application where the municipal land use law does allow municipalities to handle administratively by right subdivisions, and we are in process of doing that.
Okay. Are you complete?
Yes, I am.
At this time, Mr. Manos, as our solicitor, could you please explain to the board and to the members of the public what a by right subdivision is, and what the board and what the board's latitude is.
Sure. Not to be too repetitive, but this is a by right subdivision. What that means, we're in the R3 district. The required minimum lot size is 3,000 square feet, 50 feet in width by 60 feet in depth. They're proposing two lots which meet that requirement. They actually exceed that requirement. They're proposing a 4,375 square foot lot. That's 70 by 62 and a half, and a 3,750 square foot lot, which is 60 by 62 and a half. There's a house that's going to remain on the one lot that meets all the bulk requirements. Once we draw that line, it's still fully compliant with all the requirements of our zoning ordinance. And then the other lot meets the area lot and depth requirement, with width and depth requirement for the R3 zone. What that means is basically, the board has little to no discretion to deny something like this. It's that's why you call it a by right subdivision. As Mr. McLarnon alluded to, the land use law allows gives the authority to boards to establish a subcommittee to approve these things administratively without notice, without a hearing. We're in the process of doing that. So if we had that in place, we wouldn't even be hearing this tonight, or the one that we heard in the not too far, the other one, the Steve Wynn house, I think is what everyone calls it. So it's just a matter of going through the submission requirements and making sure that they meet all those or get a waiver. And they literally meet every single one, except I think Roger pointed out one thing that they didn't, their plans don't show the location, size, and direction of all streams, brooks, water courses within 200 feet of the proposed subdivision. That's really not applicable here. Those are really never on. I mean, everyone knows where the property is. So that's basically it in a nutshell. Two lots, everything conforms, no variances. That makes it by right.
Thank you. At this time, are there any questions regarding that from any board members? Mr. Manos? If not, we'll proceed ahead. Mr. Swift, we've finished everything that we're going to do in the preamble. Please take over and make your application.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only questions I would ask is our expert, Mr. Ponzio. Does this application meet with the Ventnor City zoning ordinance?
Yes, it does.
And is it in your professional opinion a by right subdivision?
Yes.
And would you submit in your professional opinion that this advances the land use purposes of the Ventnor zoning ordinances?
Yeah, it certainly does, yes.
All right. And do you have any reason why you would believe that this should not be approved by the board?
No, I do not.
I don't have any further questions. Honestly, I can't answer much more at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. You're complete then?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you've reviewed Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes, sir. I have been provided with it. Yes, sir.
And you're in agreement with it?
I am. Yes, okay. Mr. Chairman.
It's not required. We do on these things open it up to the public because there would be other people are here. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application?
Is there anybody in the chambers, Jay, before I ask the people?
We have one person in the chambers, Jim, and then we'll have state your name and be sworn, please.
Oh, my name's Emily Christian, and I live at 111 South Newport Avenue.
Ms. Christian, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I've lived on Newport Avenue since 1967, and I'm very, very, I understand all the by right regulations that you're proposing here, and I understand it meets the criteria, but that street is very, very dense now. So I'm very, very, very concerned when you have 1,000 people on the street on a Saturday night during a concert and no fire engines can get down the street to our existing homes, let alone a new house proposing to be built on the end lot in a fire zone area. I'm just very, very concerned about the safety of the residents as well as the public on that street in terms of density. My background is I spent 4 years here on the planning board, and at that point in time, the waves were being built, and originally they were going to be built for 29 units, and the board had to say that the density of that street, there was no room for fire engines, there was no room for safety of the people that were going to live there, so therefore they reduced the density to 27 units instead of 29. Also, since I have lived on the street for many, many years, and I do appreciate Mr. Ponzio being so thorough in this department, but I did find in my father's papers a subdivision that had already been approved from 1997 on the existing two lots, of which, once the garage was supposed to go down, there was going to be no further development on that lot. So when we hear through the grapevine that there's going to be a duplex put on that lot, I'm very concerned about the parking, the safety, and the density of the street.
First of all,
I understand that's in the building department. I understand. But sometimes this committee rules that department. So that's all I'm here to say tonight. So I'm not objecting. I'm just stating something for the record.
Well, first of all, there's no application for a duplex before this board on that lot.
Okay.
And they would have to come before this board.
Okay. Well, we heard a rumor and rumors run rampant.
Well, there is nothing proposed at this point. And as a subdivision, as a matter of a record, this one supersede, if there is one that was filed.
Years ago, it was something.
Tax map.
Tax map. Shows one lot. Shows
one lot.
It's one lot.
Right.
It may not have been filed.
It may not have been filed. It's been filed.
It was filed in 1997. That was the whole lot. 30.
How's that? Oh,
it was submitted?
Mm-hmm. It's been filed. But
they've given us the post subdivision, trying to look for some reporting information from 1997. Mr. Ponzi has planned supposed to be recorded by the Atlanta County Clerk. Let's see.
So this is the garage.
We had a subdivision approved and reported.
Mr. Swift?
Yes, sir.
Are you aware of this subdivision existing?
No, sir. I mean, the information I have that this is a single lot at this point. We're trying to subdivide it into two.
Correct. Well, we have to define the influence of this subdivision that was filed prior.
Same size.
It's the same size. And one subdivision can supersede another, to my knowledge.
Right.
Is it the same size?
Looks like it's
proposed. What they're looking at?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Can the new subdivision supersede your?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no problem.
Right.
Okay. It is. All right. Well, let's move.
But there's a comment on there that if the lot is owned by the same person and then the garage goes down, then what can be built on it?
Did you say 97?
I think that's a year, yeah.
Construction of the building on the lot, clean lot, and the common.
Yeah, but aren't the same common ownership, the new occupation, the same common ownership? The person that owns those two lots now.
Well, she said she was not objecting to the answer.
Well, it only all that says is that they can, the building can be down or they can use, or if it's not down, it can be used. And that's all it says. So if the building's down, it's not there anymore. So the. It's been removed. So it's no longer an issue.
Yeah, they want some comments.
That's point. Okay.
You remove or use the accessory structure to put property under common ownership. Property under common ownership doesn't suggest.
Okay. Fine. Do we keep a copy? Make a copy of that plan, or do you want to have that back?
I mean, it's hers. If she wants to leave the press to make a copy, great. But I could probably pull it if it's recorded.
Right.
I could probably find it.
All right. The
county clerk's website.
All right.
It should.
Are you complete with your comments?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you for appearing and giving us that information. All right, Mr. Swift?
Yes, sir.
We're going to proceed. We determined there's no net effect to this subdivision at this point, so we're proceeding with your subdivision.
Could I ask one further matter, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I ask for a waiver concerning item number 1G, concerning the location, size, direction of flow of all streams, brooks, lakes, water courses, which is on page 4.
Hold on. Your mom. She can't understand you.
I from the item, from you want a waiver from that one item that has submitted, showing the location, size, direct, flow, and 200 feet, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I think so, just before we forget, the public's still open, I think.
Right. Yeah. Mr. McLaren made reference to that should be waived. So that's it. We're going to go back to the public. Jim, is there anyone else in the public who wishes to make a comment?
Anybody in the public who wishes to comment on this application, please make notice either in the chat section or by the raise hand feature of Zoom, and you will be recognized.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I'd like to make a comment.
State your name and address, please, and we'll have you sworn.
Ralph Reinberg, 115 South Newport Ave, Ventnor City, New Jersey.
Okay. Can you please raise your right hand? You swear if I'm testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. I have concerns about the safety of, I mean, we have, it's a no parking zone all in front of this lot, we have functions, not just the concerts, but like yesterday we had, the suicide group there. They had hundreds of people standing in front of this lot. How do you drive your car through there? How do you get emergency vehicles here, ambulances, all that? It seems very dangerous to the public.
Okay, thank you very much. Is that your comments?
Yeah, I don't know what else I can tell you other than the density is way too much. And, we have lots of people during the concerts. I mean, there's tons of cars parked there. You couldn't get through anyways, all in the no parking zone. So,
thank you, sir.
All right.
Jim, is there anyone else who wishes to make comment?
Anybody else who wishes to comment on this application? Please note in the chat section or by the raise hand feature and you'll be recognized. I do not see any.
Okay, we're hearing none. Ask one more time and then we're going to close it to the public.
Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak on this application? Please make notice in the chat section or by the raise hand feature and you will be recognized.
Okay, Jim, hearing none, the public portion of this particular application is now closed. Mr. Swift, do you have any other comments you wish to make?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman. I just would ask kindly that the board look favorably upon this by-right subdivision. Thank you for your time and attention.
Okay. Mr. McLernan, do you have anything further to add?
No, I don't.
Any questions about board members?
I do. What is the legal status here? I don't know if you decided that in the courtroom, but being on Zoom, I didn't really get any explanation or understanding. And secondly, I'd like to hear from Tom Happen about the safety issue, because that street is used for community events. And to me, that is very concerning. So maybe we could address the legal issue first and then hear from Tom.
Oh, certainly.
I'll address the legal issue that we've decided to face. And if I'm wrong, please chime in. That the current subdivision takes precedence and there's no issue with the prior subdivision. And Mr. Halpin, you can continue with an answer, if you wish to make one, to Lorraine.
Sure, of course.
Tom, before you get in there, I just want to ask Jay. So you're saying the previous subdivision has no weight?
That is correct. It's identical to this one.
Well, it appears based on what she submitted that the property's already been subdivided and it's been perfected. So in theory, if they got a hold of that and it is exactly how they wanted that lot line divided, which I think it is, but I didn't examine it enough. They could probably just go with that and maybe not even be here, but they're here again and there's no problem coming back and getting a re-subdivision.
Okay, because it just concerns me that we're all hearing this for the first time and she doesn't have legal representation. So I want to make sure this is done correctly.
This is being done correctly.
Okay.
Now, the fact of the matter is with the densities and all the other issues, it already has a subdivision on it. So we're just redoing it, perfecting a new one, and that's it, essentially. So okay. Tom, you're welcome to answer the questions. Tom?
Sure, you'd like me to comment upon this?
Just make a comment. We had an answer, a question. I'd like to get it answered. Tom, make your comments, please.
Okay, my comment upon that. In due respect to Ms. Emily Christian, I know the block pretty well. There is no parking on that side of the street. And in my 20 years, either being on the ambulance or fire responses, I don't think we've ever had a problem with getting our emergency vehicles in or out of that block. I'm also on the Special Events Commission, so I generally get to every event that's down there. And we usually have a vehicle, apparatus that easily gets in and out. I think the last incident was several weeks ago when someone got hit by the tent, the radio tent, and the ambulance was able to get in there and get out, you know, with no problems. There are a lot of people, but they also did remove that center meter system. So now you've got that whole block is open. That's basically a double wide street. It's nice and roomy. We can move our apparatus. And generally every special event we have there, we do have the Venter City Police, which have, you know, we've changed some of the routes going down and back again, depending on the food trucks. But I don't think I have any problem with, you know, responding for, you know, vehicles.
Tom, the boardwalk also counts as access, correct?
That is correct.
So we have additional access via the boardwalk, which is not dependent upon Newport Avenue.
That is correct.
Are you complete, Tom?
I am complete. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate that.
Unless there's any other questions.
Okay. At this time, if there are no more questions, Leo, could you phrase it? A motion in the affirmative is all are done in the affirmative for approval of this application.
We closed the public, correct?
Yes, we did.
All right. So you heard the testimony. Someone needs to make a motion for minor subdivision of approval to create the two new lots. No variances are requested. There is that one checklist waiver, that number G, in Mr. McCarney's report about the streams, brooks within 200 feet. And we'll say for the conditions, the applicant will comply with any representations it's made, and then any conditions in Mr. McCarney's report, which he discussed a couple of them about the ADA ramp. The grading plan. And then any other conditions there, said they were in agreement with McCarney's report.
Okay. May I have a motion and a second for the resolution?
I'll make the motion.
A second.
I'll have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I will be voting in favor of this application. Actually, it's a by right subdivision, so as the attorney mentioned, we don't really have a lot of power over this, but I will restate what Lieutenant Halpin mentioned, in that we do a game planning for every event that happens in that public space, and that is a public space. So for anyone building there, they should be aware that there are not just movies and arts and crafts shows and voting and farmers markets and concerts, but there are community events as well. And that's clear. You're buying a property that's in that block. So as far as safety goes, I have the utmost trust in Lieutenant Halpin and the police department and the OEM that game plan every single event that goes on there and have access in and out of that area before any events go on. So I'm confident in safety, and I'm a yes.
Thank you.
Tom Halpin?
I have no problem with this application. Due to previous stated reasons, and I vote yes.
Thank you.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. The application is congruent with our master plan and sets forth and enhances those items that are in the master plan to make this a better seaside community and a resort community in itself. In addition to that, there are no negative criteria that are here that would make this application not worth the public good or to the city. And as for the security and the ability to get vehicles in, we have the boardwalk plus the Newport Avenue plus our apparatus of going in there. I've seen them get in and out many times. We're making corrections to the thing, to the street, and by and large, it all works. It gets crowded, but it works. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote yes. This is a by right subdivision. All the requirements of our regulations are being met. There's absolutely no way to consider it in any other light other than it's permissible. So thank you.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata.
Understanding that it is a by right, I did have some pause after I heard some of the testimony. from the public, but I have confidence in our legal professionals and our emergency management professionals that there should be no problem. So I will vote yes.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I also vote in favor of the application. I don't see any negative criteria that moves the spirit of our master plan forward
in
many ways. And we'll eventually have a compliant structure there. Thank you.
Mike Wiesen.
Thank you.
I'm just going to reconfirm what Emily Christian brought in front of the board, is that it is already divided, and I vote in favor of it.
Thank you.
Peter Taco.
I will also vote in favor of the application. Criteria.
Thank you.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor of the by right subdivision and all the criteria met.
Thank you.
All right.
We are complete. Okay, I want to make an additional comment on this.
Make a comment, please.
Yes, even though there was a prior subdivision back in 1997, looking at the current tax map, it went from lot 14.02 to 1.03, which leads me to believe that it was subdivided prior, but it was reconsolidated at a later point in time. So they are following the proper rules and procedures by coming back for resubdivision of the property.
Yeah, and a title search would reveal that. It's a good point. You can subdivide something, and then you can do a lot consolidation deed that puts them back together. So
I'm just comparing the old tax maps to the current tax map, but the one they use in the application that probably makes sense.
Right. Mr. Swift, your application carries, and you heard the comments about the potential of it having been merged.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to your owner. Good luck with the project.
Thank you very much for the board's time and attention. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Are we excused for the evening?
You're good for the evening.
All right. We're going to sign off, okay?
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Take care.
Over and out. Thank you.
We have the next application that coming up of Frank and Lori Morello at 9 South Newark Avenue. It's for some C variances in regard to a two-family dwelling.
The people who are in the audience, are you the persons for this application? Mr. Altamiro, are you one of the applicants?
Yes.
I'm the attorney for the applicant, yes. There you go.
Okay, is your applicant with you in that screen?
They are behind me, yes.
Okay, fine. Do you have any other persons that are going to need to be sworn?
Just Mrs. Morello.
Okay. At this time, before we begin, Leo, could you swear in?
Sure. Anyone who's going to testify on behalf of this application for the applicant, not the public, just state your name and address, and I'll swear, and I'll get you sworn in.
Hi, Frank Morello, 9 South Newark, Ventnor City, New Jersey.
All right. One thing beforehand. There are mics. You'll have to get closer to your microphones because your volume is very weak and the people that are on Zoom cannot hear you very well. So stay closer to your microphones, within a foot and a half or less.
And is it just you, Mr. Morello?
No, it's my wife as well.
Is she going to testify?
The likelihood it'll just be Mr. Morello, but let's swear to them both just in case.
Okay. Mrs. Morello, your name and address.
Hi, Lori Morello, 9 South Newark Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Okay, can you raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Mr. Altamura, do you have any other engineers or other people?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. All right. At this time, we're going to have our engineer planner give a brief preamble of the application, and then you'll take over and proceed, Mr. Altamura.
Thank you.
Roger's going first. Roger, could you please proceed?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. Our report is based on the application of Frank Morello, 9 South Newark Avenue, Block 77, Lot 8, Ventnor, New Jersey. Requesting, this is the engineering and planning report seeking C variances. It's located within the R7 single family zoning district. This is a substantial benefit variance. On the bottom of page one, you can see the materials reviewed. When I first started reviewing the application, I noticed that they needed a certificate of nonconformity. It was not supplied in the original application. I am in possession of a certificate of nonconformity granting the certificate CNC back in 1998, which as the board in the past has approved that as the cutoff date for these CNCs for similar cases. So top of page two are the additional materials reviewed to develop this report. Project description is as follows. The applicant proposes to construct a new flood-compliant duplex where one existed before in a single-family zone. An existing CNC is included as support for the application, which requires a CNC as a conditional use requirement. The application does require some C variances related to the design of the building. Relief is being sought as outlined below for the structure located within the R7 zoning district. So my zoning chart is on the bottom of page two, the top of page three. The variances are as follows: front yard building roof setback. Because the roof becomes part of the building, 10 feet is a minimum permitted roof setback for the building. 13.08 feet exists and 5.08 feet is proposed. Again, by definition, once you put the roof in there or the decks are impervious, it becomes part of the building. Front yard second floor deck encroachment, whereas 4 feet is the maximum permitted second floor deck encroachment into the front yard, and about 5.08 feet is proposed. Building coverage, because of the roof, for the duplex, whereas 60% is the maximum permitted building coverage, 53.2% exists, and 66.9% is proposed due to the roof expansion over open slotted decks. This has no bearing on the lot coverage. And for the curb cut, whereas two driveway curb cuts with conditions are permitted, the conditions are not being met. 18-foot wide is the maximum, and 19.58 feet is the proposed curb cut width. No waivers have been requested. The comments are actually taken directly from our zoning ordinance, and I don't need to go through all those. It just identifies and reinforces the variances required. Bottom of page two discusses why the curb cut is not being met. Page six, item number three, the decks are not counted as building coverage as it were open, and now a roof is to cover them and increases the building coverage. The allowable height is being met. All off-street parking is provided in the garages and covered parking areas. All landscaping requirements are being met. Again, this is a substantial benefit variance, so the proofs have to be put on for that. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Dr. Miro, you concur with that report?
I do.
Okay. Then you're up. It's your application to proceed with.
Okay. Well, again, just to reiterate, coming with the point your planner just indicated, my clients are taking an older, approximately almost 100-year-old house that was a duplex, basically tearing it down and rebuilding a brand new flood compliant duplex in the same exact location as the old building. Obviously, the purposes are to be more aesthetically pleasing, to be a more modernized building that won't have all the you know, the various repair requirements of the older building. The new building will be a green building, energy efficient building. So that would also enhance the town and the actual building itself. Again, aesthetically, it'll be much more pleasing than the existing building. And some things about the existing building are that it was a duplex, but the lower portion of the duplex was actually 2 feet underground, and it only had a 6 foot tall ceiling in the lower portion of the duplex. So obviously in the new building, everything will be more compliant with local building codes, meaning that there will be at least a minimum of 8 foot in each of the different levels. Again, the building will be up off the ground almost 11 feet, which again, certainly be more flood compliant and certainly in keeping with the standards that we've tried to enhance since Storm Sandy approximately 8 years ago. Again, as it's been laid out by the planner, the real variance results from the fact that they want to have a second story front deck that's going to have a roof over it. So we have a setback limitation on how far that roof can be in the front. It has to be 10 feet back. We're proposing 5 foot back because, again, the lot is narrow and long, but you got to make up for some of the size of the building because of the narrow lot. Again, the front deck, we're talking about the requirement is a minimum of 6 feet. We're suggesting 5 feet, so actually a little less than 5 feet. So it's, you know, we're only talking a 1 foot difference. The percentage of is 67%. We're almost 67%. We're 60 permitted. And that's primarily caused because of the roof over the front deck and the fact that it's a fiberglass deck. So again, I think we're talking a small percentage. And again, the reason for the deck in the front and the roof over it is obviously it's aesthetically more appealing looking and more just makes a better presentation for the neighborhood. Plus it allows obviously the ability to be on that front deck and see the beach and the ocean and all that. It also allows the applicant to have lighting and fans and stuff underneath the deck on the first floor deck. So I think it just enhances the whole property by, again, providing a much more aesthetic building than the 100-year-old building that exists presently. As far as the curb cuts are concerned, again, the proposal is 19 and a half feet, and 18 is allowed. So we're talking a foot and a half. That's allowed better access to the two-car garage proposed underneath the building. Again, we're talking a foot and a half. It's not really an essential thing. We would just like the extra few inches so that there's no difficulty getting in and out of the garages. The alterations are really minimal. I mean, we're talking a few feet here and there, but the enhancement to the neighborhood and the property is going to be more than a significant enhancement. So I'm just going to have my client now just testify a little bit about, again, what their vision is and what, if any, effect it would have on the land use and whether it has any detriment whatsoever. So, Frank, why don't you just again, the planner and myself have already laid out, you know, what variances they are, but just give us a little idea of what the purpose of tearing down this building and putting up the new building are. What are the reasons for it?
Okay. First of all, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So my wife and I have had the property for 17 years now, and we plan on this home being our retirement home. So we definitely would love to have it in the manner that we feel is the most enhancing for our neighborhood. And with that said, we're getting older and we really don't want much more maintenance to occur in future years. Therefore, we would love to have our decks finished off with fiberglass finishing So everything underneath would not deteriorate and it would look beautiful. Just lighting, fans, as Steve mentioned, it's all about beautification. I know that, you know, we'll be over our limit, but when you look at it, we're still allowed to do the decks. It would just either be Trex or it would be fiberglass. The only difference here is that we would love to put the roof on just to give it some, you know, some wow factor, just to make it look really nice there.
Tell me about other properties in the neighborhood. Obviously, are there other duplexes on Newark?
So on the north side, two homes have been constructed. They're not duplexes. I think they're single-family homes, but they have the same contrast as we're going to have. They also had the roof put over the second-floor deck, and they also had the finished deck, fiberglass. So it would be within the same realm of what that looks like.
These are other neighbors on the block.
On the north side block, but on Newark. Okay. On our block, everybody does have fiberglass decks. That, you know, anybody that has a deck, it already is fiberglass. They may be older homes, and they're just on the same footprint as what they've had, but they do have that finish.
Okay. How about the rebuilding for flood purposes? Is that a factor that you've considered?
Of course it is. I mean, you know, we had Hurricane Sandy come through, and, you know, we were lucky this time around. But listen, we're going to go by the compliances. We're going to raise it 11 foot finished floor. I think it's 11 foot. We're going to have beautiful parking underneath off street. Everything, you know, is going to be, up to, code. It's just really going to enhance the neighborhood.
Okay. Is there anything in any way that you believe this project would be a detriment, either the zoning plan or the neighborhood or the zoning?
Not at all. We're willing to do the landscaping that is required. We're willing to make it look as beautiful as possible.
And there were, obviously there was an existing duplex virtually in the same footprint as the one you're now going to build.
Correct.
So none of that is changing.
Nothing's changing. And we plan on living there as a family. I have two boys that are grown now, and we plan on just sharing the property with them and making it a family home.
I think that's all we have.
A question. According to the plan I see, then the new home, the front deck appears to be closer to the property line than the old deck. Is that, am I reading this right?
There was an old deck.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Is the new deck on the front of the house the same distance from the property line in the front as the old one, or is it closer?
Well, the deck itself, well, there was no deck in the front.
No, all the setbacks were correct.
Yeah, the first building was in compliance with any setbacks and any requirements. The only reason, again, that the deck is not in compliance is primarily because of the roof.
Not
covered. It's covered, and it shouldn't be covered.
I asked the question, is the deck in the same spot as the old deck, or is it closer to the front property line? Or is it closer to the front property line?
There was no old deck in the front.
What is your answer?
There was no old deck.
Both decks for the first and second floor are 5.08 feet setback.
What is the old setback?
That house is torn down.
I know that. But there's a survey here that's supposed to have it on it. It says existing conditions.
Question is,
and that's what we're saying. There was no old deck.
Right, steps. Yeah.
Higher steps.
There were steps there.
It was under construction. They wanted to add this. Oh, so this is just for the deck.
So, because if it's a conditional use, then there shouldn't be all the conditions that are added to it. The variances go with it, get the conditional use.
That's what we're here.
Right. So what I want to know is based from this drawing to that drawing, can somebody tell me? Are they in the same spot? That's all I want to know.
But again, there was a step in the front, and now the deck's going to be in the front, in the same location.
I asked the question, is the new deck in the same spot as the old deck? Yes or no?
Again, there's no new deck. There's only a step, and a front concrete step, and there's a landing, and the deck's going to be right where that landing was. So, yes.
Are the decks the same square footing?
Would the owner please answer the question?
And which question is that?
Is the old deck at the same location as the new proposed deck?
Yes.
And the same square footage?
And the same square footage.
Yes.
Thank you.
The decks that are being proposed are already permitted.
Yes.
The only thing that they're coming in for is the roof partially covering the second floor deck. And the change from material to open slotted deck slots to solid covered deck, which increases the building coverage.
So the variance is for the roof and not for the deck.
Correct. Well, for housekeeping, even though it was permitted, that second floor deck is in line with the first floor deck in our ordinance, and that's actually what we changed.
So we're doing a change. So the second floor deck needs a variance also.
Right. It needs a variance where it already is. It was permitted by the state.
Now, are there variances in the back of the property?
No changes in the back. Yeah.
No changes in the back.
So none.
Variance one.
Four.
What are the other two?
Curb cut width. Okay. Building coverage. Building setback. And apron.
All right, so we've established that the two decks, the decks are all the same size, and the variances for the roof and the second floor deck. Now, let's discuss the curb cut. Why do we need a variance for the curb cut?
The requested curb cut is 19.58, and apparently the ordinance allows 18 feet. So it's a foot and a half wider than permitted by ordinance.
That's usually the top of the return. Usually the curb cut has about two more feet to it. So an 18 foot at the bottom is about a 20 foot curb cut overall with a roll. So we'll go ahead. What's the next variance we have?
The front yard setback to the roof we're building.
Front yard setback to the roof, which is being caused because we're covering the deck.
Correct.
Second floor deck encroachment, just a small, minor housekeeping item. And building coverage, by solidifying the decks and adding that roof, you are increasing building coverage by definition.
Because of our definition and because of the ordinance, is the ordinance inducing the variance?
Yes.
So basically, for the coverages, our ordinance is inducing the variance. So that is the case. Board members, do you have any questions regarding these variances?
Yeah. Okay, please go ahead.
Just, this is brand new construction. And we're looking at what, 4-5 variances. I think we need to make some of them go away. I'm not happy with that.
This is Roman. I agree with Lorraine. This is new construction. There should be no variances.
Well, we have some variances that are being induced by our ordinance, and they're all stemming from the aspect of a roof covering a deck. The decks are permitted already, but the roof is not. So the roof, because of the coverage, we're picking up a variance. The house is basically where the old house was. But we have the two surveys side by side. So the question becomes for the board is, the variances that are here are de minimis. Is, do we take a plan that worked and an ordinance that we have and make it unworkable, or do we make it work? And how do we edit it if we wish to edit it?
Chairman, I would say, let's just look at the curb cut situation. There's really no reason for the curb cut to be anything other than 18 feet. There's really no compelling reason other than they wanted that wide.
Right. Well, so, not to interrupt, if you want, we're okay with 18 feet. We can scale it back a foot and a half. So if you want, we'll withdraw the request for the 19.58 curb cut and agree to the condition that it meet the 18 foot. We're okay with that. It is de minimis, but that's fine. 6 inches each way ain't going to make a difference. So that would be acceptable.
Okay. Very good.
I do. This is Roger. I just want to point out to the board members that the second variance for that second floor deck encroachment, we are addressing this in our ordinance revisions, which we will hopefully get to tonight. That variance, if we do these revisions, that variance will go away also. For some reason, our ordinance requires a second floor deck to be a foot more narrow or less deep than the first floor deck. That doesn't make sense. So we are going to fix that ordinance.
So we'll fix the ordinance, this goes away.
That second variance goes away.
Roger, are any of the other variances triggered by them raising the house to be flood compliant?
No variance is being triggered by elevating the house to be compliant with flood.
Thank you.
Welcome. So with the curb cut reduction, which the applicant agreed to, it really means that the other variances really are de minimis and would be okay.
They're actually triggered by our ordinance.
Right. So we can move ahead on this application then.
So with that, is there any other discussion? Because I'm going to move it to the public if everyone is first of all, Mr. Altamura, do you have any comments you wish to make?
I'm sorry, sir, I couldn't hear you.
Do you have any comments you wish to make?
No, I think we laid it out pretty clearly. I think there's some minor variances. We'll agree to the curb cut. And again, I think the roof is what creates most of this. And I think it's just aesthetically better looking. So just
some. I'm going to open up to the public now. Jim, do we have anybody in the waiting room once addressed on this particular application for the public portion?
Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to speak or comment on this application? Please make note in the chat feature or raise hands and you will be recognized. One last time, anybody from the public wish to speak on this application, please make note in the chat feature or raise hand and you will be recognized.
Okay, Jim. You've had two bites at the apple, just in case So no one has wished to speak. So at this point in time, the public portion is now closed. Again, Mr. Adamuro, is there anything?
This is Nancy Morgan. Can you hear me? I've been trying to talk.
Okay, hold on. Your name, who, where are you? And Jim, let's bring him up. Could you state your name, please?
This is Nancy Morgan. I live at 18 South Newark Avenue. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Nancy. Thank you.
Ms. Morgan, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I love what they're doing with this property. I think it's wonderful that they're putting a new, modern, wonderful property on this land. My question when I looked at the paperwork is a little different than what I'm hearing tonight. Is it seemed to me there was an additional 200 square foot on a deck. Now, we got variances years ago to put fiberglass decks. I 100% support it. I think that's wonderful. If it's just the roof, who cares? That's a wonderful thing. But my question was, are they putting an additional 200 square foot deck on the property? If that's not the case, then I think it's fine. But that was my question for the board.
No, there is no addition to the deck.
Okay. I thought from when I looked at it, there was an additional 200 square foot, which to me is two living rooms. But if that's not the case, then I think it's great. And I think it's wonderful what they're doing with the property.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Nancy. Jim, are we complete now with the public?
Yes.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Adamuro.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any further comments you wish to make?
No, I think we would submit based on what's been presented at this point. Thank you, though.
Okay, thank you. Board members, any questions of our professionals for the applicant? If not, Leo, could you phrase a motion in the affirmative for this application?
Yes, it's a C variance application for the new duplex. There's three variances. They've eliminated the curb cut variance. There's a front yard setback variance to the building, which is that the roof addition of 5.08 feet and 10 feet required. Front yard setback to the second floor deck. They're at a 5.08 foot encroachment where 4 feet is permitted, and then building coverage. They're at 66.9% or 60% of the permitted maximums. Applicant will comply as conditions of to any representations made during the course of the hearing, and then any other conditions in Mr. McCarnan's report.
Okay. At this time, we'll have a roll call vote. Please.
We'll make the motion.
Pardon me? Oh, we have a motion.
We'll make the motion.
Please. Motion second.
I'll second.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I'll vote for this application. I think that I appreciate them falling back on the curb cut. This happens to be one of the older and smaller buildings on that street. I think what they're doing is a huge improvement to not only their property, but the block. Most of the street has off-street parking, so I don't think that the curb cut will be, it serves the home well. And I think a lot of the things that we're pushing the envelope here in terms of the variances have something to do with the way, with the modernization of the way people live. So I'm an enthusiastic yes, and thank you for their long-term residency in Ventnor, and good luck with the new home. Pass.
Thank you.
I'm Halpin.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. It's definitely an improvement over what I saw today at that location. So I vote yes.
Thank you.
Jay Cook.
I'm voting yes. I mean, first of all, this is a removal of an obsolete building, replacing it with a new building, improving both the financial picture and the ratables and the scenic view of the community itself. It falls within the purview of the master plan. In addition to that, there is four off-street parking places here, of which some didn't exist before, that now exist, that we're taking more cars off the street, or putting more availability for parking that's there. And we're also getting a FEMA compliant structure. So with that, I vote yes. And I would welcome the Morellos to doing a fine job, and welcome to our community.
Thank you very much.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes. I appreciate the concession with the driveway opening. The variances are basically de minimis, being created by our ordinances. I think what they're proposing will add greatly to the streetscape. It's a great addition to the community, and thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata.
I think whenever we can add a flood-compliant home to the inventory of houses in Ventnor, it's a plus. Understanding why the ordinances were, need for variances were triggered, I'll vote in favor.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor. Investment in the community, so I have that thought.
Mike Wiesen.
I also in favor of it. It's a beautiful layout that you have here, and I do feel as if some of the variants were triggered by our obsolete ordinances. Good luck, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
You are approved. Congratulations. Good luck with your new home.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great night.
We're going to exit out. Is that okay?
Pardon me?
We're going to leave the meeting. Is that all right?
Yes, you're the meeting is complete for you. You can at this point leave at your pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Okay, we have another item here on the agenda this evening, and that has to do with, we have drafts of ordinances for discussion. Roger McLernan is going to handle that part. And go over, and please, Roman, and with Roger, you chime in any time, as you've worked well on this project as well. Roger's done the lion's share here, and we'll go from there. So now, can we put the ordinances up?
We can't do it.
All right, everybody, does everybody have access to your email? Because they were emailed a copy of this this ordinance today. Can you look at it in your iPhone or?
Who's he talking to?
Those on Zoom. Do you have access to your iPhones? You can look at your email, and you can bring this topic up. Yes or no?
We're looking.
I have a copy of it. What do we have to find? Sorry. Is it an email, you said?
It's an email. Came out about 1 o'clock today.
No.
Okay. From Roger.
Okay. I just sent it to everybody about an hour.
Okay, it was sent to you about a half hour ago.
Oh, okay, that's different.
Yeah, 6:30.
Aha.
I don't have it.
Got it.
It's an email. It came out an hour ago, or an hour and a half ago. Yeah, it should be like.
Okay. We're going to start out. Roger, let's take you up first. The first ordinance.
I'll just go right down from the beginning to the end, and we'll get it in ordinance form after we go over it.
But could you give a little background on it, too?
Sure. Before you start. Some of these zoning ordinances changes were as a result of beach block and boardwalk block development, and how the bayside bulkhead definition and term was erroneously applied to beachfront blocks with a bulkhead when the ordinance clearly does not say that. So we're clarifying that to, and as a result of that one application at 5802 boardwalk with the high deck, and there was another application with a high deck right next to the boardwalk. And again, it was permitted by the ordinance, but I don't think we all agree that that probably was not the intent of that ordinance. Some of the other ordinances are a further result of not well-defined accessory structures. So I did that pretty extensively. Building height for these accessory structures was not clearly defined. It was in one area. Setbacks to accessory structures. Also, the one application that we just heard, that second floor deck being required to be 1 foot further in towards a house, that doesn't make sense from a constructability standpoint. We're clarifying that. And to some other dormers also. We can discuss dormers as we go along.
Okay.
So I just want to go down. I'm on page, if I'm in Word format, I think I sent it out in a PDF format, but page 6 in definitions, building eve height maximum, which is in parentheses MEH, the ordinance reads, or the definition reads, a vertical distance from elevation 12, NJVD 1929, for all structures north of Atlantic Avenue, and elevation 13.0, NJVD 1929, for all lots south of Atlantic Avenue to the underside of the roof eave. Again, that's, we haven't used NGVD datum in at least 10 years. So rather than convert to NAVD datum, we just eliminated it because of the differential height requirements that we now allow, that we have a general definition that any eave height can't be more than 2 feet above the roof of the, or the ceiling of the second floor. So this doesn't, it doesn't really pertain. So I just added in there, I crossed off the definition and added C building height requirements. Going down, building height, accessory structure. Again.
Roger, before you go on, that would mean that you're also eliminating the title, building eave height maximum MEH, right?
Well, I prefer to leave that in because it's better just to leave items in there and see where a reference is, because people that are familiar with the ordinance.
Okay. I see what you mean. Very good. So it will have the title and then it'll have C building height requirements.
Correct.
Okay.
Jumping down to building height accessory structure, similar to that where we refer to NEVD 88. Again, I used the Calamo application from a couple of weeks ago where they had the accessory structure and needed a building height variance. This would not eliminate that, but it eliminates where it's measured from. To me, I never understood where and why an accessory structure is measured from a point either above the ground, below the ground, or in the ground, when it should be measured from the ground. It's the ground is a reference point. That's how high it is. If you dig a hole and look up, everything is going to look higher. If you're standing on a ladder, everything is going to look smaller. So the adjacent grade, most towns, the building height is measured from whatever grade is around it. So that clarifies that. So I remove a portion of the definition, but I add an adjacent existing grade is where everything's measured from. Jumping down.
Again, Roger, I think for everyone's sake, do we kind of agree we should be discussing this. Do we agree as a board? I think it's a great suggestion.
Makes sense to me.
Seems logical.
Okay. Roger, move on to the next one.
Next.
Accessory structure. Right.
Okay, hold on. Let's go. We got to talk one at a time. Lorraine, were you speaking?
I just said the change makes sense.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So
why don't we go, before we get too far along here, Roger, why don't we go back and start knocking these off in, you know, a little discussion, and then I was going to do it. So let's go back to the first one real quick. We're going to go back to the first one. We're going to have discussion on it, and then we're going to finalize that and go to the next one. That will get this all complete. No. Right.
Building eve height?
What's the building eve height, right?
I just remove that definition. I say see building height requirements in section. I can add the section.
All right. Does everybody understand what we're doing? We're just taking out a very small change, removing it, and that's it. And going back to existing ordinance. What's the next one?
Right. Building height for accessory structure. I just we remove just, a point that we don't know where it is to the grade.
So again, all we're doing is very simple change. The accessory structure is we're measuring from the grade adjacent to structure for the height. That's it. Next one.
Jump down to definition of a deck.
This is
page 9.
Yeah. Everybody heads up on this. This gets touchy.
9.
Again, this is a function of the last application we heard tonight. The current definition is a permeable or non-permeable structure having no roof with sidewalls or railings, not higher than 42 inches above the deck. I didn't write that either. Above the deck floor and is attached to and projecting from the principal structure. Retractable awnings affixed to principal structures without poles shall be permitted. That all stays. I add on there, this seems to be a bone of contention, or not a bone of contention, but a questionable application. A non-permeable, this is what I'm adding, a non-permeable deck will count as building coverage. That clarifies any misconceptions.
Right.
Then I add in there, this is a question I have for the board. I said, we may want to clarify and say that decks, permeable or not, count as lot coverage, which they normally would. If a deck has a roof other than a deck, then it is counted as building coverage. So what I'm saying is right now we interpret it that if you have a deck and it's open slotted, it counts as lot coverage, even though it lets rain go through. If that deck, like tonight, those slotted decks were converted over to fiberglass decks, that's counted as building coverage. In my opinion, we should still count that as lot coverage. It makes no difference. However, once they throw a roof over it, then it's building coverage. Right now we say because the fiberglass makes it impermeable, that's building coverage because it's acting as a roof. I don't agree with that because it's one or the other.
Okay. Go ahead.
My recommendation would be that decks, no matter what, or counted as lot coverage. Once you throw a roof over it, whatever that portion is, that would be building coverage. Because if I'm looking from 10,000 feet up in the air and I look down on this and I see a roof, then that's building. If I see deck, right.
I think that makes very good sense.
Right.
These are small changes, but they add up the square footage in people's applications.
That's what we're clarifying, because that wasn't clear.
So we're trying to eliminate the variances.
I think this will eliminate quite a few of the applications that we had a variance that's here right. and there. So it's a good
right.
change.
Hold on, people. All right, now everybody, somebody can, who was talking? Roman, you were talking?
That was me. I was saying that I feel that that is a very good change. It will eliminate quite a few of the variances that we see all the time.
Are we all in favor of that?
Yes.
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 Okay, next one.
Bear with me.
Lot area.
What page?
15.
Lot area. I kept the definition in there.
Let me get the background of this.
Yeah, what did I do? This is, did this a while ago.
This has to do with
the seawall. This has to do with the seawall versus a bulkhead along the bay, where it has been interpreted in the past that the definition of lot area stops at the bulkhead or high water line. Well, we don't have that same situation on beachfront properties, especially now with the Beachville project and the dunes. And these lots do extend further out, mostly to the boardwalk. So they should get credit for that lot area because they are paying taxes on it. And that's what I'm including that area seaward of the bulkhead for lot area requirements. So it'll never be built on. So they should get credit for that pervious surface. However, we still are going to have the later on you'll see where the bulk standards like setbacks and related to setbacks will still be measured to the bulkhead. That was not clear. It's not clear in the ordinance today.
Well, I thought to be measured from the bulkhead.
5 feet from it. Right.
Okay. So put that together, please. And that, first of all, the lot area we're talking about for the area is for the oceanfront lots that have a seawall in front of them. And it's the area that's in this between the seawall and the boardwalk that basically that we do not allow to be used, which should be given to them as usable space. They're paying tax on it. So that's the first one. Am I correct?
With certain revised setbacks, yes.
Okay. Now, what are the revised setbacks?
Well, I have to get to that.
They come later in the chapters. We get to the various zoning districts.
So let's, while we're on this topic, let's get the revised setbacks and then get the boardwalk as the...
I'd rather go in order. We can return to that.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let Roger do it his way. So Roger, continue.
Staying on definitions, I added subdivision by right. And again, Leo and I, we've been discussing this. What I added in there is a definition subdivision by right, any minor subdivision, not requiring any variances at the time of submission without new right of way or streets proposed, and it becomes a major subdivision, even though it's only possibly two lots. So then we already have a subdivision committee, but the definition refers to any subdivision and finding out which category it is. So I added another definition, subdivision committee by right, where same definition where the committee is selected by the planning board members appointed by the chairman, and that we basically it takes the by right subdivision process out of the board and saves us time and the applicant time and money, where the committee reviews it, makes sure it complies with the ordinance as a by right subdivision, like the one we had tonight. We don't need to come here anymore. That would just be resolved administratively. And actually, it's a lot easier. You do that, we have that process in Margate, and it saves a lot of time.
Everyone agree?
And the municipal land use law permits this type of change.
Okay.
So that's for the land, the community structure.
No. Unless the structure creates variances.
Right. Yeah. As long as it's by right. Yeah.
You're fine as long as neither of the lots.
Like say that one today, is that if that house was a foot over, right, it would need a variance for that.
Yeah. Okay. Next one.
Before we go on to the next, was there a consensus on the lot area about counting it from between the bulkhead? There was consensus from the board?
Yes.
Okay.
Before you,
I'm keeping score here at this end. So I want to know, I want to keep checking off.
We're going to jump into the continuation of that lot area business right now. We go down to page 25. We're in the R1 zoning district now because it faces the boardwalk. Section 102-14, where the area and bulk requirements start. It says the minimum lot size for detached single family, blah, blah, blah. Lots created by subdivision approval after said date shall as follows. Then I have The land outside or seaward of a bulkhead or seawall may be used in calculations for lot areas if it is part of the same lot and not a separate riparian lot. What I don't want to happen, and I think we will all agree, that some of these riparian lots go out into the ocean, they should not get building coverage based on that portion of the lot. That just clarifies the area that they're allowed before. As I said before, for the definition, it was applied that the bulkhead location and high water line for bayfront properties was applied to oceanfront properties erroneously. So this clarifies that, provides a starting point now for beachfront properties.
Okay. Any questions or clarifications? We discussed it once before, but this is the second bite at it.
It's good okay. for me.
All right, everybody go with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes.
I think, Roger, this is in Zoning District 1.
Yes.
What about
R1?
What about 3 and 7?
Get into that. Okay. That same definition is applied to R3 and R9. Same location, same definition, same wording. So they're all of our beachfront and boardwalk properties are treated the same way.
So end to end, all of it is treated the same way.
Okay, now we jump down to section E, same R1 zoning, where the front yard shall have a minimum setback of 15 feet for principal and accessory buildings. In the case of corner lots, all yards fronting on a street will be considered front yards and one side yard will be considered a rear yard. Now, the boardwalk, I feel, should be counted as a street. It is public right-of-way. And also, that gets us out of a minor jam where these middle lots that don't front on a street technically all require a variance for not having street front access. So by including the boardwalk as a public right-of-way, which it is, it's an easement, that all boardwalk fronting lots shall be counted as a front yard. Same setbacks that was applied to the side yard, but it gets the non-corner lots, gives them street frontage. So the boardwalk shall be considered a street. No proposed or new seawall or oceanfront bulkhead shall be closer than 5 feet from any boardwalk edge. Again, this is a reaction to what's been happening and a preemptive strike to anything that's going to continue. All setbacks shall be measured from the existing or proposed bulkhead or seawall location. And I'll put on there waterside face. No decks or structures other than otherwise permitted in this section shall be permitted within the 15-foot setback.
Yay.
Are you saying that the boardwalk is the reference point?
The property line is a reference point, but no boardwalk, the bulkhead or seawall can be moved closer than 5 feet to the boardwalk.
Right.
So that way, if there's any wave action,
right,
it hits okay. the wall, goes straight up, does not destroy or damage the bulkhead. Right now, we don't have anything precluding and preventing that from happening.
Does everybody copy that? That the idea is that leaving a space so the wave action can take a its own course, and then that nothing touches the boardwalk for our maintenance also, because we have maintenance crews have to get in there and work. So nothing is closer than 5 feet, no concrete walls or anything to that boardwalk. But the lot area goes to their property line.
So again, these two changes you're going to see in the R1, you're going to see in the R3, and you're also going to see in the same R9. So all of our beachfront and boardwalk front properties are treated the same.
So it's citywide.
Okay. And you know what? If they needed a variance for that, so be it. They should be in front of the board.
So a question on the 15-foot. So does that mean no decks or structures otherwise permitted in the section shall be permitted within the 15-foot setback? So that's 15 feet from the seawall?
From the property line. See, what property was happening, it used to be from the seawall.
Outside right. of the seawall.
Yeah, you see, all of our setbacks were measured from the seawall and not from the property line. And our seawall is jogged all over the place.
Some are at the property line, some are beyond it, some are inside.
Inside.
Right.
Property line.
Feedback from the right. property line.
So,
it could, in fact, be below the seawall. Right. But we're protecting the integrity of the boardwalk.
And nothing close to that. Right. So that's the new guideline, because it's all irregular. So we're trying to put it as regular as we can. Okay.
So that's R3, R9, R1.
Everybody good with that?
Makes yes. sense.
I think you need the uniformity.
Okay.
R9. I even put it in the overlay district, so there's no confusion. There's no, well, it's not in the overlay. I guess it is. Let's see. I believe that's it for the actual zoning districts. Panning down.
Now, these are all in response to things that have come up in board meetings, in approvals, and also requests from our construction code official.
Okay, here we go. The next topic is section 102-116.1, permitted accessory uses. I jumped down, I created a new section called section 102-116.2, permitted accessory structures.
You're on page.
Storage sheds are permitted accessory structure in each residential zone with the following provisions.
What page?
25. No, 64. I'm sorry, 64. Page 64.
Got it. You didn't miss it. You didn't have to know it.
So I just identify, you know, between the discussions I've heard with Jimmy and Jay and Roman, I have all sheds shall comply with the flood damage prevention ordinance. And again, that's for construction purposes. Usually they have to be anchored down, secured. So we don't want to compete with that. We just say, if you build a shed, it has to do this. Lot sizes of 3,000 square feet or less may have one shed up to 80 square feet in area. I believe that's an adequate size for a small lot, 8x10. Lot sizes greater than 3,000 square feet, but less than 5,001 square feet may have one shed up to 120 square feet in area. Again, that's just they have a larger lot, they should have a larger shed if they can fit it in. And again, all these count as lot coverage, so they still have to comply with lot coverage. Lot size is greater than 5,000 square feet, may have one shed up to 160 square feet in area, 16x10. Maximum shed height is 12 feet to peak. Again, that's the current definition. I want to reaffirm it in the shed. Shed roofs must have a minimum roof pitch of 4 and 12. We can make that 5 and 12 if the board wishes, but 4 and 12 is maybe adequate. All setbacks must be 3 feet from any rear and side property lines. No sheds are permitted within a front yard setback or in front of any principal structure. Sheds shall not be visible from the boardwalk. I think that's important for the boardwalk properties. Sheds located within the building setback shall comply with above requirements. Again, what that means is, for that case on Monmouth Avenue back in Ventnor West or Ventnor Heights, where they wanted to put storage sheds underneath a building. Well, of course, they're going to comply with the setbacks, but they still got to comply with the area. We don't want a humongous shed in a parking lot, in a parking area or storage area. Why not just enclose the storage area? So that's why I added that in there. Duplexes and two-family dwellings may have a shed complying with the above requirements. May each have a shed complying with the above requirements. I think that's only fair. Again, it's provided that they have lot coverage. Storage sheds may not be located within any easement. just as my engineering side of me, saying, you know, if we have to replace a storage or a stormwater pipe and there's a giant shed that's permanent on top of our easement, that just adds cost to the city. Storage sheds are prohibited, Section B, storage sheds are prohibited in residential units having more than two dwelling units. A detached garage for use as a shed may be permitted if it meets the above requirements in Section A. And again, we do permit detached garages with certain requirements. Again, we can look at that. Jimmy may want to tweak that also. I just threw that in there that, you know, say like one of these 100-unit residential towers, we don't want 50 sheds.
Quick question.
Yes.
On the duplex lot, just down the square foot duplex lot, then the requirement would be based upon half of that per unit.
If they didn't subdivide it, right?
If they didn't subdivide
it, right.
So if you had a 6,000 foot lot duplex, you'd only do each shed.
Each shed would be 80 square feet. And here's another item, Section C, portable storage units. Again, you can read everything I wrote on there, but basically portable storage containers shall be anchored or attached to a residential dwelling or commercial building. Maximum size, I'm just jumping down here. Again, portable storage containers should not be located within any easement, just in case they're abandoned. We limit the size, basically at a volume. One portable storage container per dwelling unit, up to two dwelling units are permitted. Again, we don't want a bunch of these pods all over the place. Maximum length of time for a portable storage container may be in place shall be 12 months. Again, that's subject to board discussion and actually the zoning officer. Again, I don't think we want a portable, that they can reapply for a zoning permit if it expires.
I think it should be 6 months.
I was thinking 6 months, but I think 12 months might be more practical because of the process of tearing down, rebuilding, getting, you know, they have to come up from the board. The question on the question that Jay has is the length of time for a permit. Should it be 6 months or 12 months? Board discussion.
Well, given so long how long construction can take, I think 12 months is reasonable.
Yeah, I would agree. It always seems to take longer than you plan.
I agree with that.
Okay, 12 months it is.
And a zoning permit is required for all portable storage units.
All right.
Jumping now to dormers, just some.
Everybody okay on portable storage units?
Yes.
Okay.
Here we are in section 102-118, building height. The dormer issue. The dormers have created variances that are, I believe, are unnecessary. We are causing some aesthetic hardship on especially beachfront properties. And when this dormer ordinance was revised a couple years ago, we were, you know, the intent was, and this is before flat roofs were permitted, the intent was that we wanted to get rid of that roof slope envelope and the dormers and projections. Well, we got rid of that, and that's working fantastic, in my opinion, getting rid of that.
Right.
The dormers, we put such restrictions on these dormers that every dorm that came in, it was in, needed a variance. So my suggestion to the board is allow 40% of each building length to have a dormer and not tell them where they have to be offset. You know, a dormer is a dormer. I mean, we every dormer is not going to look like St. Leonard's Tract dormers. I think we all agree with that. I think some dormers, especially on the beachfront, they want to put them in a corner of a house, like a front corner overlooking the beach. You know, the current regulations, they need a variance. So I don't think we should be designing dormers for architects. I think architects should be designing dormers for us. and have, you know, here's 40% of this length of roof, put dormers in it. One might be 10, one might be 12. You know, if they needed a 12-foot long dormer, they needed a variance. So let's see what the architects have in mind.
Okay, comments?
I agree. We've had several incidences of variances with dormers. I think this will ease that up a little bit.
And many dormers.
Okay.
I never met a dormer I didn't like.
All right, next one.
Next one. Again, this would have this next change would have gotten rid of a variance tonight, and I am on page
68,
section 102-118.3, additional regulations. Jump down to section B. We're talking about projections in the front yard setbacks by decks, where projections by second floor decks and stairs to upper floor shall be limited to 4 feet into the front yard, meaning 1 foot less than the first floor deck. Let's just change that to 5 feet to match the first floor deck and porch. No variances required now. And the next sentence, provided that the principal structure is currently conforming to the front yard setbacks that is up. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean if they need a variance, that you don't get this? I think that's great. Or a variance is granted for the front yard setback. So whatever that front yard setback for the building is granted, they're allowed a 5 foot projection in front of that. But they still need a setback. So that gets rid of the second floor variances that we've been seeing left and right. It's I talked to Jimmy about this and he's all for this. It would make his life a lot easier. And I agree. And from a constructability standpoint, I think Peter Taka would agree that having a second floor deck directly above the first floor deck would be a little bit easier in ordering materials.
Easier to build, too.
Right.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's practical.
How many more we have to do?
Not many.
Okay.
I think this is the next one's the gist of it, a large portion. Section E, I created, renamed Section E, decks on boardwalk front lots. I could say boardwalk lots, it doesn't matter, but page 68 at the bottom. First floor decks in any yard adjacent to the boardwalk may not be higher than the boardwalk, regardless of the elevation of the finished habitable. The elevation of the finished first habitable floor. Our ordinance says no matter what, that first floor deck or that front yard deck may be at the first habitable floor, no matter how high it is, whether the building's elevated above a garage. And I think that's what got us into a jam with the other one. I forget where that was. Dudley Avenue, wasn't
it?
Dorset Avenue.
Yeah, that deck so high and it was up to the boardwalk and
like a wall.
And we don't
big
want
wall that. In front of you. Yeah.
Right. So this gets rid of that.
Good.
The second one is front yard setbacks and encroachments to all decks adjacent to the boardwalk shall be as required in the ordinance. Decks adjacent to the boardwalk may have a timber walkway, a maximum of 4 feet wide, connecting to the boardwalk with written permission from the city engineer. This isn't, we've had many discussions with this with Commissioner Landgraf and Ed Stinson. We all agreed that there's not a whole lot of boardwalk front properties and their taxes that they pay are higher than anyone else. They should not have to walk through an easement, down to the street, up a ramp to get in front of the house on the boardwalk when they're 15 feet away. So this is basically a design standard. I've seen this in other towns where it has to be locked and gated on both ends to prevent other people from using it. Again, section C, all walkways shall be fully maintained by the property owners at no cost to the city. The city maintains a right to revoke and remove the entrance if deemed a safety issue for the general welfare of the public. The railing shall be open and not block any views. All properties that have pools shall comply with the requirements of the construction code on the non-boardwalk end of the walkway. Again, this will still make the pools have to comply with the construction code standards for pool fences and gates. The walkway shall be at the same elevation as the boardwalk, so that way there's no steps up at the boardwalk, there's no steps down. Make the steps and elevation change requirements be on the homeowner, not the city. Walkways may only be constructed with all the necessary permits being obtained. Again, if they need a CAFR permit, they have to get the CAFR permit. They need a construction permit, they have to get the construction permit. And again, they'll need a zoning permit and they'll need a signed agreement with the city engineer. But it does allow these high tax paying people direct access to a boardwalk. And again, because there's so few properties, I would be against it if we had like 20 properties in a row.
Right.
And you're going to have all these openings. You know, people entering into bike traffic, I don't think. But we're not going to see the case. You're going to see 2 to 3 openings per block. That's it. And since we regulate the size, we know they won't be 8 feet wide, 6 feet wide. They're going to be 4 feet wide. Enough for a wheelchair.
I don't object. Can I?
Go ahead.
I don't object to it at all, but I think on item E, where you're just saying the railings shall be open and not block any views, I think that opens it up for the discretion of the homeowner to put just about any kind of railing in there. I think it should be consistent with the boardwalk, and they should have to fabricate a railing that looks like the boardwalk. In my mind, I mean, I'm just talking it through, but wouldn't it be strange to have a different railing connecting to the boardwalk at every different home?
Yeah.
Rather than if the decking is going to be like the boardwalk, shouldn't the railing as well?
Yeah, but here's the issue with that. A boardwalk as a public property, those railings are exempt from BOCA and International Building Code.
Hmm.
Once it gets on the private property, they are not exempt from International Building Code.
So they have to have a 4-inch space, has to be a 4-inch sphere and 30 and the height, right? But all right, it just seems like we're opening it up to be like an unusual design element on the boardwalk that you might have, you know, vinyl railings or glass fronted railings all connected to the boardwalk.
We can have a specific design standard for this if you choose.
What we can do is we do a return, Tim. We do a return on the boardwalk. In other words, the first 5 feet or 4 feet of the rail coming off that. Is the same as the boardwalk, but just a return, and they tie their rail into it.
Just as a comment, I don't really think it's necessary. If you're talking about a handful, I really don't even support that.
We're getting requests for it.
Well, no, you get requests for a lot of things. It doesn't.
I understand
mean
that, but
I'm just saying. I personally, I mean, if the board wants to do it, we'll do it. I personally wouldn't I just wouldn't open that up.
You mean the whole idea?
The whole idea, exactly. But let the board vote on it, see how they feel about it.
Tim?
Yeah, my concern isn't about having it or not. It's just about the attractiveness of the consistent boardwalk throughout with the railing, and then you'd see any number of different types of railing connecting into it that might be odd. I would be more in favor of having some type of a design standard, I guess. I don't have a problem with the concept of it. I think it's
right. Keep in mind, some of these walkways will only be probably 5 feet long.
Waves has access to the boardwalk. They have their own already. They have their own, and it matches the whole building. So I don't think it's objectionable, although it varies there some places too.
Well, here's two thoughts. One is that we can have a return of the boardwalk style rail, say 4 feet, 5 feet.
Yeah, I don't understand how that would look. Wouldn't you just do a BOCA compliant in that material?
Well, the next thing to do is we'll just come up with a design standard for it and pick a pattern. And that's it.
We have time.
We can put that section on hold if you want. I mean, that's, I think It deserves further discussion.
Well, how does everybody else feel about doing that? I mean, opening it up or not?
We're going to talk about that more and to come up with some ideas on how to handle the rails.
Well, Lorraine's got a good point. Is the rest of the board in favor of this idea?
Let's find out. How many board members are in favor of putting the accesses from individual properties to the boardwalk?
What happens if they tear the house down?
I'm in favor of it.
I'm in favor of it.
I think it really depends on how that railing interacts with the rest of the railing on the property. If it's kind of integrated with something else that's going on, and we impose a design standard that's totally different than what has been built or is proposed, I mean, then they kind of
you say it has to match with that building.
You can't make an architectural standard on the rest of the building.
Right.
But why would we have to?
Like that one house that both they did here, the railing, and I could see that being applied more in there.
Before you decide what kind of railing, do we have to decide if we want to go forward with the whole idea?
That's what we were trying to do before, so let's go back to that.
I think it's great. Right. Allow access.
All right. All those in favor of providing access from a boardwalk running house to the boardwalk, raise your hand, say aye.
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 Those who are opposed to it.
I'm opposed.
Oh, we got it.
I lose. Okay. I'm a team player. It's good.
The majority says we go with it.
And okay.
We're going to work the rail out.
Okay.
We're not going to do it tonight.
Good. Tim, you're in charge of that.
Yeah.
Designer here.
I'm kind of used to that. It's all right. I mean, like in Palm Beach, people have access underneath grade to their own beach fronts. It's a thing.
The Dudley Avenue piece was a screen, not an access. We're talking about a different animal.
That didn't have access.
Did not have access. So everybody, the Owens property, the Dudley Avenue piece, where that had that screen going across the front, that did not have boardwalk access.
How about this? I'll confirm with Jimmy about the building code. If he says he doesn't have jurisdiction on it, we'll say it has to be a continuation of the existing boardwalk railing.
Okay.
I think so.
What we'll do is we're going to put it into writing. We're going to find out the best way to do this. We'll have some discussions a little and research it, and then we'll put it into writing. And then we'll come back to the board.
Yes, we'll go back to Jimmy.
Right, yeah. All right, what's the next one?
Next one is table one back on page 77. It's the off-street parking requirements for residential land uses. Again, our ordinance differed from residential site improvement standards, which is the standard for statewide parking requirements. So what I did, and this was a conflict before in a couple cases. So, housing type for RSIS goes up to 5 bedrooms. We require 3 spaces. Our ordinance says each additional bedroom, you have to add 0.5 spaces. But you can't overrule residential site improvement standards. RSIS is the standard. So I cross that off. And our ordinance didn't have two-family, duplex, single-family, detached value shall apply to each unit. I applied it because I use RSIS. So I added that section in there. If you go down to housing type for, down to
mobile home,
garden apartment, townhouses, high-rises, I took at-home occupation. Of course, they're going to have to comply with the residential use anyway. I added a mobile home for 1 and 2 bedroom, because that's an RSIS. I doubt we'll see any mobile homes here in Metner. Retirement community. That's directly from RSIS, value shall be commensurate. And size noted above that the retirement community resembles. Same thing for recreational homes.
It used to be windows.
Owner occupied. Mid-rise apartment, assisted living. Garden apartment, values apply. And this is all directly from residential site improvement standards.
Okay. Well, the table is all directly that, so we don't have to go over each item.
Right.
But so the table is being, because we're not in conformance, is being placed in there, so we are in conformance. That's it. That's the simplest part.
So the standards don't go above 5 bedrooms, it caps at 3 spots.
Right.
So, all right. Are we okay with that?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
that's yes with me.
Substitution yes. is what it is. Okay, next one.
So section C, I bumped down through section D, which is not in RSIS, but I think it's good for the city. It's not addressed in RSIS, but it is addressed in our ordinance. I kept that in there for electrical vehicles, supply equipment. And I added section C to mimic or reflect RSIS with, says if the applicant does not specify the number of bedrooms per unit, this parking requirement shall apply. So I've never seen that case pop up where number of bedrooms is not designated. So that's basically a housekeeping item, and I think that is it.
Are you complete?
So
I think so.
If you have a 6-bedroom house.
3 spots.
3 spots.
You have a 7-bedroom.
3 spots. Now, okay. That is the this list has been generated for going back.
One other section. Down to
one more.
Page 99 or page 100 under subdivision review. I added in there section 102-134.1. Action right below action by planning board. I put action by subdivision committee by right. Again, the subdivision committee shall have the jurisdiction to approve all by right subdivisions without planning board notice and approval with assistance from the board engineer, planner, and solicitor as required. By right must be a minor subdivision and not include any variances or new streets. Just adds that in there. Some language might have to be changed, but I think we understand where we're going with that. It just reinforces the other definitions. I think that's it.
But the next phase we go into is we'll reduce these to each to a written ordinance so that it can go for get out for a first reading, and then the board reviews it first, and then we'll send it on the commission. But this is a compilation of requests from our construction code official and things that we've been keeping track of for the past year. So we're going to act on them because they're all deficits that we need to fix. And thank you for participating.
Roger, the score was 12 yes with one exception on the rail.
Well,
who was the
better than Eagles, right?
Roger, I want to thank Roger for, I've been pushing him on this a bit to get this done, and he stepped up, and we got a good first going. Now next meeting we're going to continue with this because we have to adopt all these things, so we have to have these adopted before the end of the year.
You made real good changes. It helps the applicants and it helps us.
Yeah, I mean they're shortcomings, and yeah, we're going to fix it.
No, it's well done.
Yeah,
good job, Roger. Roman. Yeah,
thank you.
Agree.
Okay. Before you all go, I do have to say about a feel-good situation. My wife created a art exhibit at the end of Washington Street, right on the fence that guards the sand dunes. It was all beachfront objects. So she created an art collage, and this was done just before Labor Day.
Well, people have been doing. I'm sorry.
So she created this art collage with, you know, rakes and, you know, every, you know,
I
toys that.
Into that. Very so clever. Very clever.
And so what people have been doing is they have been continuing to drop objects. So Nadia now has a whole bunch more, and she's starting to drill holes in them to add to that collage. So it really turned out to be a nice community activity. She just has been collecting this stuff for the last couple of years, thinking what to do.
Well done. Give her our compliments.
All right. Is there any new business from any other member? If not, may I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
You are adjourned. Thank
you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Good evening.
Good night.